today on Rockin' the Suburbs.
Hey, Jim, what do you call the fourth Led Zeppelin album? Led Zeppelin 4, So-So, Untitled?
I just call it Epic. Okay, we are now into the top 10 of the Led Zeppelin countdown. Patrick, remind people, how did we come up with this list, this 15
yes.
Led Zeppelin songs?
On our Facebook page, a closed page we have, we had people vote. We posed the question for them, and then some various hangers-on and others each voted for 10 songs. Some people couldn't quite come up with 10, but
yeah,
we appreciated any contributions. And then there was a system by the accounting firm of Deloitte and Touche that added all this up, and we came up with 15.
Is that how it worked? Okay.
Yeah.
Then, but didn't you do, you did some of your own outreach, right?
I did.
Some, like,
several people.
College students and so on?
Yeah, I had a few of my group that I work with during the day job contribute as well, and four of them did so. I threw it out to all of them, and there were a lot who just basically don't really know anything at all about Led Zeppelin. And then there are some who are really into Led Zeppelin. Nicole Kitchens contributed. She's one of those who's way into them.
So this is interesting because...
I was going to say, I thought that her songs would be Greta Van Fleet songs.
Yeah, exactly. That's how they're living their Led Zeppelin experience. And I think there is something to that. I know we're not going to go into that, down that rabbit hole, but I think there is something to Greta Van Fleet's popularity, you know, exuding that aura of Led Zeppelin for a different generation.
But you think Led Zeppelin still resonates with the kids today?
Some, but not nearly as many as you might think.
Okay.
That most of them are pretty clueless about what Led Zeppelin is.
Okay. So this show is Rockin' the Suburbs.
Yes, it is.
I'm Jim Linehan.
I'm Patrick Foster.
And with us to talk Led Zeppelin are...
Kevin Spain.
Brad Mailer.
Rob Gates.
All right. Thanks guys. We just had some pizza. We are recharged here. You guys, what, you moved on to other beers now too?
Some other beers have been cracked.
Okay. All right. Very good. I think we're going to move relatively quickly through this episode. We are counting down numbers 9, 8, and 7.
Yes, we are.
But they are all from the same album.
Mm.
So this is, depending on what you call the album, this would be what I would suggest is the Led Zeppelin 4 edition of this countdown. So let's kick it off here with number 9. Black Dog.
Looking back on it from a parental perspective, from my own parental perspective now, we had this on 8-track, and I wasn't old enough to drive, and I made my mom play this all the time. I can't imagine what she must have been thinking. I'm like, crank it up. It's like such a dirty song, man. You know?
Yes.
Yeah, well, this was a great 8-track. It really was.
Yeah. So...
Yeah, man, she put up with a lot. God bless that woman. May she rest in power forever and ever.
So one thing I really like here that we haven't talked about yet with Led Zeppelin is the kind of like syncopation and the odd sort of time signatures. And so Brad, the drummer here, can address this. But this is one of those songs, and there are others in the Led Zeppelin catalog where, like, as a listener, you sort of think you know where the beat is, but then you don't really. It sort of moves to another spot, or maybe it didn't move, but somehow... You think it did, right? Because
it always throws you off a little bit.
Yeah, and it really kind of keeps you off balance as a listener. you know, hearing the way the song is structured.
Yeah, absolutely. In fact, we used to play this in that first band that I mentioned. And yeah, we really had a hard time sort of trying to get it together. But, you know, after a while, you work at it and it finally comes together.
I love the hi-hat, I mean, the ride cymbal on that song. You can hear it so clearly when John Bonham switches over and he's just hitting it so crisply right near the screw there at the top. It's so nice.
It's like everybody's playing their own song. You know, it's like everybody's playing different songs and they just sort of pieced them together. But it, yeah, it works great, though.
It's amazing.
It really works.
It is sort of like that in a way that the individual elements are very easy to pick out in this song. You know what I mean? The vocals, the guitar, the drums. Yeah.
I mean, as great as Page, Bonham's like a lead drummer. You know, it's like lead guitar, you got the lead drummer kind of thing. It's like he could almost drive the band himself the way he plays.
Well, and I guess he did that one song that's off of, what, Coda? What is it called? Bonzo's Montro. Mm-hmm. And it's basically just him jamming on the drums, but it's a song. You know, it's very cool.
Now, none of us here are, I don't think, old enough to have seen Led Zeppelin in concert. They probably played their last concert in 1978 or 9 or something like that. I'm not sure.
80. They did a tour in 1980.
Okay.
Yeah, 80.
So, so that's kind of out. But I think we've all seen at multiple times Song Remains the Same and seen the drum solo in that, which is amazing. I've seen that movie many times in the theater.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I used to go a lot to the midnight movies. That's another thing I think Zeppelin ushered in was the midnight movie because you had to go see Song Remains the Same, unless you were laying in a tent.
We'd get in the car.
Watching a laser show.
Exactly. We'd get in the car and drive down to Bailey's Crossroads. Yeah. That's where it was playing.
Yeah. Midnight movie. It started at midnight.
So one of our listeners, Kurt Gallagher, who picked Black Dog as his favorite, said, in reference to when we asked for the top 10 list, he said, I'm not super qualified for this, but I did blast their albums in my testosterone/alcohol-fueled youth on my bare-bones car cassette deck with speakers cannibalized from an old boombox, thinking to myself, I need a better sound system.
That's pretty quintessential.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So again, it goes back to there's definitely there was a lot of youth appeal with Led Zeppelin.
That's right.
Testosterone is definitely something that this band is all about.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So as I mentioned, the three songs we're doing today are all from Led Zeppelin IV, also known as
Untitled or Zozo. Right? Yeah, because it had the cymbals inside. Yeah.
And what do you think it is about this particular album that made it so huge?
Well,
Stairway to Heaven.
Yeah, there's a song on there that we'll come to that was really, really popular. But I mean, from front to back, it's a classic record. And why do you know exactly anybody why they didn't want to put the name of the band on the outside? Was it something to do with critical reception? Like Jimmy Page was like, they're going to trash it anyway. So we don't even, you know, people who need to know will find out. I don't know.
No idea.
Speaking of which, that's next on the list here, Going to California.
Took my chances on a big jet plane. Never let them tell you that we're all the same. Oh, the sea was red and the sky was gray. I wondered how tomorrow could ever follow today. Mountains and the canyons start to tremble and shake. The children of the sun begin. Watch out.
This is a beautiful song. I was thinking on the way out here, here's a band with one of the all-time top drummers, you know, in musical history, and yet you could make a mixtape without him playing on it, you know? That's the way Bron Mayer, you know, Black Mountainside, like all those acoustic jams, like this one that he had in, you know, Bonzo's Nowhere to Be Found. I'll also say really quickly, you know, we were getting ready for this, and yesterday was my wedding anniversary. I was hanging out out with my wife, as one, you know, will do on that day.
And I hope
she,
so.
And she said, you know, we were texting back and forth to kind of figure out our final order here and logistics. And she said, you young people, my wife's 2 years older than me, by the way, you don't know anything about Led Zeppelin, so just give it up. She's just like, stop it. But this is a woman who, when we got married, she had 5 albums. 3 of them were Led Zeppelin albums. She had Song Remains the Same, Led Zeppelin 4, and Led Zeppelin 2. Those, so they merged with my 5,000 albums. She had 2 Carole King albums.
Yes.
But she also had and still has a poster of Robert Plant, the lead singer of Led Zeppelin, with jeans that, if they're above his pubic hairline, they're not above their pubic hairline by more than, you know, a pubic hair. Can we say that on this show? And a belt buckle that's giant, right? The belt buckle is so huge. And yeah, and there is not much being left to the imagination on that poster. And I tease her that it was on her ceiling, but I know she did have it prominently displayed throughout high school and college on her wall. But that's something, you know, this the sexuality of Robert Plant was such a big thing. And not only did Zeppelin bring in, you know, heavy metal and all this other stuff, but they also brought in this taken to the extreme rock star lifestyle. Like, they were the first band to base themselves in a city and fly on an airplane to the different cities and get back on the Starship. You know, they called it the Starship and fly back to, we're just going to be based at the Hyatt, you know, the Riot House in LA, and, you know, fly out. Mm-hmm. And all the decadence that went with that, you know, the groupies and the sexuality and, you know, all that, they just took it to another level and created, you know, the 70s, that whole thing of this massive arena tour and all that stuff. There's so much that they made because of that.
Yeah, it's a bit of a stain on their reputation, essentially. Like, these days, I dare say, even though I loved this band for quite some time, I would have a hard time sort of recommending going out and getting into Led Zeppelin because of that. Mm-hmm. That, you know, like, groupies of 13.
Well, you know about it now, though.
Yeah.
I don't know that we knew
That's what I'm saying.
That was going on. I mean, you know, you can't do anything that everybody does it.
Like, right. I'm just saying that, you know, if somebody hasn't already had their Led Zeppelin experience, I don't think I'm going to be recommending Led Zeppelin to them.
I don't disagree with that.
Unless they're Greta Van Fleet fans.
I don't disagree and then with I'll that, but
you just got to get it from the...
At our age, when Led Zeppelin was coming out, we probably would have been cheering them on had we known what was going on back then. Or maybe I'm just speaking for myself here. I don't know. This is not a family show, though, Patrick. You can say pubic hair if you want to.
Okay. Thank you. And no, I think you're right. I think you're right, Kevin. It is. And like the 70s, you know, I don't know if we could arrive where we are now without having gone through that, you know, that evolution and music and stuff like that, too. But, yeah, I love this that's come out of this. The only people you're going to recommend Led Zeppelin to these days are Greta Van Fleet fans.
No.
It's true.
All right. I just want to say one quick thing about going to California, which is why
that's
you called.
That's probably a good idea.
Right. So I know I've said things like this before, but as a kid growing up in Ohio, the concept of California in the 70s, like, this would be, seemed like another planet. Like, the whole, it had this allure, right? And it seemed kind of mystical in some way. California, the Golden State, all that. And I think this song sounds like that feeling.
Mm-hmm. It does.
You know?
It does.
And it also sounds like you're on a road trip, doesn't it?
Yeah,
it does.
Really does.
Yeah. I was born in California, by the way.
You didn't have to go there. You were already there.
I was already there.
That's pretty cool.
All right, here we go. Are we ready?
Yep, I guess as ready as we're ever going to be.
All it glitters is gold, and she's buying the
stairway to hell. When she gets there, she knows if the stores are all closed. With a word, she can get what she came for. She's buying a stairway to heaven. There's a sign on the wall, but she wants to be sure, 'cause you know sometimes words have two meanings. In a tree by the brook, there's a songbird who sings. Sometimes all of our thoughts
off. Sorry, but
Stairway to Heaven.
We've heard it. We know it goes off into other directions. It gets heavier and does all kinds of things. This came in at number 7, so right in the middle of the list. And it's a bit of a divisive song, I think.
Yeah.
And Rob here is going to defend it.
Right. And I will let Rob do that. I just want to say two things. I don't hate this song. It's not like that. It's just for me, if when I was approaching this, and if I were to do it again tomorrow, I would take Stairway to Heaven out of the Led Zeppelin experience and just put it by itself, because it's bigger than, and it's nobody's fault. It's not the band's fault. Nobody knew this was going to happen to this song.
Nobody's fault but mine.
Right. Nobody's fault but yours. No one knew that this was going to happen, that it was going to become this ubiquitous, you know, song on par. The only other song I can think of that's like this is Freebird. That just totally eclipses what the band achieved. And that's not to take away from the band. And so the only other thing I'll say is I was not old enough to ever see Led Zeppelin in a concert, but I was just the right age to slow dance to the most of Stairway to Heaven in junior high sock hops and things like that.
I think Page and Plant both feel the same way about this song. Like, they don't understand why it got so huge and became what it did.
You have the floor.
I mean, Patrick took a lot, actually stole a lot of my thunder. This is the iconic song of a generation. And I know people poo-poo it because it got burned to death on the radio and people got burned out on it. I remember for years later on after high school and after college, I couldn't listen to it anymore. It's like, oh, not again. Sort of the same way I felt about Bob O'Reilly, Won't Get Fooled Again, all those iconic songs that were just like burned into our heads. But I went back and listened to it a couple months ago, actually, for the first time all the way through, and realized it is an amazing song.
It really is. It's an amazing song.
It the way it starts, the way it builds, which, you know, we see, you know, Zeppelin does a lot more of that down the road. The beginning of the song is nothing like the end of the song.
Right.
And completely just it throws out the whole, you know, verse, chorus, verse, chorus, verse, chorus. But for the reasons, the emotional ties to it that I would think everybody of our age has. I mean, we ended every single dance in high school ended to that song.
Right. Yeah.
And I mean, every single one, like, that was it. You knew that was it. And I'm sure there were many hearts broken over that song, and probably some babies made over that song too. So just from, you know, as defining song of a generation, you know, this is it.
Yeah.
I agree. And I think that's why it probably wouldn't be on Patrick's list or a lot of people's list here. And I even rated it lower than, you know, that I should have it. To be honest, it's the number one Led Zeppelin song because it's one of the great rock songs of all time. But like you said, I don't think it was, you know, there's people I've always heard, oh, it's overrated. This is an overrated song. I don't think it was overrated. I think it was just overplayed.
Yeah.
To the point that you got tired of it.
That you're burnt out.
And it's like, you know, it's like, it's got folk music. It's got, I don't know, blues. It's got all these different genres that these guys learned and that they sort of melded into this great song. And, you know, that starts slow, it ends fast, and it's got great lyrics. It's concept song. It's everything you would put in a rock song. And I mean, you know, I think that's part of this album. This album seems like it was the sort of the crescendo for these guys. You know, they'd been working together probably for only three or four years, I guess, at this point. And they sort of hit their stride with this album and this song. And I mean, I can't believe this song came out in 1971. This whole album came out in 1971. It just seems like it's later than that. And,
right. Yep.
And all of this. And I don't know. I could ramble on about this song forever like you. It's one of the greatest songs, but when you play it, everybody's like, oh, okay, here we go.
Yeah. But it is. It's an amazing piece of songwriting that, you know, just builds and builds and builds and just becomes this amazing thing. Yeah, a lot of people are tired of it at this point. But I'll tell you this much, as, a musician, the very first song I ever learned how to play on guitar was this song. And it taught me pretty much every single chord I ever, ever needed to know, which is an amazing achievement in itself, in that it really uses, you know, so many different chords, and, you know, it comes together in this beautiful piece of music. It is amazing.
Getting back to an earlier statement, they also benefited here from the advent of FM rock radio because you could get an 8-minute song on the radio.
Absolutely.
Yeah, definitely agree with what you guys are saying. And I think I did steal Rob's thunder. Now I'm reading his original comment. I pretty much paraphrased that. But you do say clear lens. I think that's the thing. Can you listen to it with a clear lens? That's a really hard achievement for music fans to be able to say to yourself, can I actually clear everything I know about this, put it all aside, all the baggage, all the history, and actually listen to it as a song? That's hard to do. I don't know if I can do it.
Okay. We have 6 to go over the next 2 days.
Yep.
And of course, you're going to be with us on this journey because you're listening
every day, every single day,
Life
every day.
Nirvana.
Right. Please email us your thoughts about Led Zeppelin or other music-related matters, rock@suburbspod.com, or call, leave a message on our voicemail, 612-440-1984. Get your voice on an upcoming show, or find us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, all those at Suburbs Pod. Please rate and review the show, do all that stuff. You know, I also want to give a shout-out here to, we don't do this enough, to our house band, Court Jar.
Yes, Court Jar.
And because I was, as you know, I hear that theme song every day.
Yeah, every single day.
And I feel that Court Jar's drummer, Tori Lee Flanagan, has a bit of a John Bonham sort of feel to his way he plays, don't you think?
I think so. And I think when we have the big Rockin' Suburbs 4th of July picnic in Omaha, Nebraska this year, if we ask Court Jar to work up a Zeppelin set, I bet they could do it, you know?
Is that with the symphony orchestra? Are we doing that too?
Haven't been finalized yet, but we're working on that. They may play an afternoon set.
If you want to support Court Jar, please visit their website, courtjar42.com.
These guys are awesome. Yeah, they're heavy. They're all heavy their music. Power trio. Yeah.
All right. Okay, let's get out of here. We got to move on through this countdown. It's Rock in the Suburbs. I'm Jim Linehan.
I'm Patrick Foster.
Kevin Spain.
Brad Mailer.
Rob Gates.
All right.
Thanks,
guys. Talk to you guys tomorrow.
Unless you were laying in a tent.
We'd get in the car.
Watching a laser show.